from ComedyFilmNerds.com with Graham Elwood.
The Floating Force of Pandora, ever heard of it?
And Chris Mancini.
What clan are you from?
This is the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast.
It's not that great.
This is not the ninja movie I signed up for.
Cousin Eddie's package.
Why can't this happen?
I got nothing going on.
Hello, welcome. I went right into morning radio voice, didn't I?
Oh, like immediately.
Yeah, coffee and jab jab. Mornings. You're not going to give me the sidekick? You're jam jam.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's check traffic.
Oh, you're the one that it doesn't, the annoying
one. I'm like, oh, all right.
Well, no, the guy who's always put upon, he's trying to do the news, and he's like
what? All right, come on, okay, three buses were overturned on the way.
Were they Grateful Dead buses?
They had nuns and orphans in them.
Well, I guess they're late for school. Dead babies, all right.
Does anyone have a helium balloon?
Oh, great. I was going to try to do that laugh for the full hour.
I know. That's why I stopped you.
Welcome to Comedy Film Nerds Podcast episode
33, my friend.
Man, we are
a palindrome.
We are a palindrome, or a third of the way through 100.
Almost.
Right? 33.
We'd have to do a third of an episode.
Well, we're going to.
Yeah. Done. Don't.
That's most of our episodes. Yeah. Are a third. Exciting episode.
I'm really excited for this episode.
I'm not as much.
Okay.
And here's why.
Sure.
No. No. We have an awesome guest.
We do. Actress, comedian,
friend,
improv actress,
longtime French Cubs fan,
friend of indie film, documentary fan, and you can cook too, right?
And not the best international streetwalker,
yes,
as it turns out. We'll get into that.
Working on that. Yeah. Out of context, by the way. Streetwalker?
Yeah, it makes you sound like she's not a good international prostitute, is what I said.
I think you meant international pedestrian, I think you were trying to say.
Yeah. Right. Who gets sex for money.
Yeah.
Here's our first guest.
Oh, nice. You did it. You did it.
10 episodes. I
know. It was pretty good. First guest. Well,
our only guest.
You know why we had a couple episodes that threw you? Because they were.
Yes.
They were. We did a live show. We did a
smooth sailing. We did one in my house instead of the garage.
Exactly. We did a horror director. We pieced it together. Film festival stuff. There's no one can blame you for getting confused.
Damn it. Well, our only guest, Susie Nakamura, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo! I don't forgive you.
Yeah, I've said the first, I don't know, 20 episodes we did this, I would always say our first guest, and Chris would always go, we only do one guest a show, why are you saying this? And
I usually say thanks for listening at the beginning.
Yeah, he usually says thanks for listening. It always sounds like we're wrapping it up. Yeah. Our first guest, and thanks for listening. Good night.
Drive carefully.
So yes.
Celebrate responsibly.
Don't forget to vote. Yeah.
Too late.
You injured your foot. Explain that so it doesn't sound like I was calling you a prostitute.
I was walking down the street, which I guess you could call me a streetwalker. And I turned my ankle.
Where?
I was in London.
Ooh, traveling.
Where everything is backwards.
Yes. And it's interesting because your mind, it doesn't make that adjustment ever. Because, you know, you've grown up in the...
Because they say lift instead of elevator.
Yes, and it's chips instead
the
of fries. And my morning
time,
is...
I would look at cars and, like, there was one passenger that was just sort of looking down and reading a book. And I was like, why is that driver reading, you know? And then there was another time where someone was dropping someone off, you know, and I thought, like, why is that driver getting out of the car? I mean, it just... Your mind doesn't adjust. Like, you constantly think drivers are doing stuff, even though they're passengers. And you're like, you know, that...
Without a wheel.
Dangerous
without a wheel.
And you always look the wrong way, and there's signs on the streets that say look right, look
yeah, there's
right.
Arrows.
I read those signs. Those were for me. And then I just turned my ankle and then walked on it for the next 8 days.
Wow, what a trooper.
But it wasn't a sprain.
No, it wasn't a sprain. I broke it in two places.
Wow.
I just had an MRI, too, so there might be a possible Achilles tear.
Oh. We're going to be selling those on the site, Achilles tears, pretty soon.
Invented by Dean Haglund.
The Achilles tear, and then you get a chill pack on top of it. It's right. Good business.
It's a package. So it's a gift pack.
Susie walked probably 35 miles
she
in
soft
cast.
She walked to France yes, through the channel.
Did. Yes.
But, you know, I'm Asian, so I had to power through it.
Way to go.
And not tell anyone that it fucking hurt. Can I swear on?
Oh sure, my God, it's the internet.
You murdered us. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. You can swear.
I'd like to give
everyone
a special thanks
after.
To Brian Blundell for driving me here today. Because I can't drive with this boot on.
Or you're just still like, I don't know where the steering wheel is. Is that the whole
I just get in the passenger side and go, what? Where is everything?
Yeah. All I have here is a vent.
I don't know what I'm doing. Well, as I said before we started recording, looks like you should have minded the gap. Folks, Graham Elwood on the morning show.
Wrapping it up.
13th caller is going to get some coffee
and jam. A hurricane has made 10,000 people displaced.
Oh, boy. Sounds like they're not going to be partying there.
That's really going to affect our shop and go appearance shopping center.
It's going to fuck up our remote that we're doing at the parking lot of the shop and go. But we'll still be there handing out some coffee and jam.
You may
jam
not
frisbees.
Have a home, but we have free coupons to Shakey's Pizza.
Yeah, that's how these insensitive assholes are. Everyone that's been displaced from the hurricane, you're going to get some beer koozies with the Coffee and Jab Jab logo on them. I'm sure that'll get you through. All right, coming up next, Kings of Leon and some other bullshit. All right, Jab Jab Coffee Mornings. And then the sound effect comes rolling in.
Yeah.
It's like watching a nervous breakdown.
Yes, it is. Every week.
10th caller is going to get a nervous breakdown on Coffee and Jab Jab.
The new show on CBS.
Yeah. Can you tell I've been on the road a lot doing a lot of morning radio?
Now, speaking of morning radio, Susie, you've done a lot of everything. You've done radio, movies, TV.
Good transition. And,
I try to move it along.
You can tell.
We have morning DJs.
Chris was like, Graham will not stop doing this unless I physically stop it. So I'm going to come up with the thinnest of segments. Hey, you know, thinking of mornings, you like time.
Yes.
You see movies.
You get up every day, right?
Yes. Yeah. You have a pulmonary system that accurately works.
How do you respond to vitamin D?
Yeah. Do you need more sunlight, less sunlight?
What stuff have you been in? Let our fans know who you are.
Let's see. I started in Chicago with the Second City.
Oh, no, wrong direction.
And
started the other side.
The other side. And I moved to Los Angeles. I've been on The West Wing.
Mm-hmm. Who were you in West Wing?
I was Sam Seaborn's assistant, Kathy. You know what? I should have reviewed my credit before I came.
Way to go.
I kind of don't remember. I've never been recognized. I should say rarely recognized here in the United States. But I was in London, and I was at a restaurant, and a waitress came up and said, excuse me, but are you an American actress? And I was like, yes, I am. And she said, are you on Scrubs? And I was like, no. And I had to think, because you're like, did I do Scrubs? But no. But then she said she recognized me from Modern Family.
Oh,
which
cool.
I didn't even know. I don't know. Maybe they watched it on Hulu, because I don't think it's there.
Well, you were also on Laura Keitlinger's show.
Yes.
That was
The Minor Accomplishments of Jackie Woodman.
That was really good. I loved your arc, too. That was when you were an executive, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That Laura's character was pretending she had cancer to get work. And and you were bringing her, like, cookies and all sorts
and
of stuff.
Yeah, and my character's daughter actually had cancer. So I, you know, tried to bond with Laura's character. And to watch her struggle with guilt is fantastic television.
That was one of those shows where I remember I was like, how did this get on the air? It's so funny and well written. Like, it just felt like they snuck it on. Like, they snuck tapes into IFC's programming without them knowing it or something.
Yeah,
IFC does a lot of original stuff, too.
But then they figured it out in, like, two seasons. Like, hey, why? No, this is too weird
too crazy.
And creative.
the 1,500 old people that have Nielsen boxes don't get it, right. And we're still going to go by what they say, not what the rest of America's doing as they download everything and watch it.
I think we should get into it.
Yeah. Fight? Oh, yeah. The movies. All right, okay.
Go time in the garage.
Let's do it. Buckle up. Someone's going to get another cast.
You want to do shout-outs or right into...
Let's go shout. We do some shout-outs. Where was
Well, it? I think... thank everyone that came out to the Visalia show.
Yes, great show. Thank you so much. Second time there for me. First time for you. It was a great time.
It was great.
We had a blast. Visalia, you are the American graffiti city in my heart that I always knew you were.
And thank you for not being Fresno.
Thank you. Don't say that. We have listeners in Fresno. Don't alienate our Fresno fans.
If we have fans in Fresno, they don't want to be there either.
They don't. Get out. You still can. Get out. The resistance will find you.
You know, everyone in Fresno who just heard that comment just went, yeah, he's right.
I'm moving to Visalia. Yeah.
Go to a safe house in Fresno, and we will pick you up and get you out of there. You can do it. So that was a shout out. Outstanding.
Yeah, sure.
Shout outs to a couple of people that saw me and Doug Benson in the St. Louis Funny Bone this past Monday and Tuesday. Those were good shows. Thank you to all those folks who came out, and our intern with his insane laugh. He's in his underwear yet again. We make him wear underwear. So get over it.
Because he comes without it.
He comes without it.
We have to have some in the office.
Put this on.
Please.
We had to have Dean Haglund invent intern underwear.
Yes, there is a Chill Pack underwear that's in development right now, you guys. It's in the R&D department at Film Nerds headquarters, and it's going to be huge. All right, let's move it along.
It's called Chill Package.
You just looked at me like a parent. Like
seriously.
Can we actually talk about movies since this is a movie review podcast, you moron? Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. I thought we were way farther behind than we actually are. No, go ahead, Graham. Good, do another good. 5 minutes.
Driving's weird. You ever notice in New York and L.A. and dogs and cats and men and women, they're all so vastly different. All right, let's get into due date. Someone has to stop me.
Absolutely. Okay, due date. I saw it. I saw Planes, Trains, and Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, last night. Yeah, it was okay. It was really, there was a lot of problems with this. There was a lot of like ambition to it. It was like, okay, we're going to make kind of a cool road movie with Zach and Robert Downey Jr. as Hangover. Yeah. And there was a lot of Hangover-ish things. I mean, Zach, they're making him play the exact same character over and over again, and that has to stop. These can be different characters. It's okay. You know, the weirdo, kind of likable guy with a lot of emotional and psychological problems that doesn't really fit in or, you know, work well with society. Okay, let's see something else because Zach is clearly capable of it.
Well, that's why I really liked it. It's kind of a funny thing because he really he brought more to that than just the guy, the wacky guy that he's been doing.
Right. So it's there's a couple places you really got to suspend disbelief. Like, they're in the Mexican border. They get caught with the federales. And, that's how they get out? They just drive away? Okay, I'm sure that is feasible. No one's going to chase them. There's nothing called an APB or a radio to other police agencies that would... So there's a lot of stuff you're like, what? Now, come on. Really?
White people get away with shit all the time.
it is true. But if... Yeah.
Especially Robert Downey Jr.
But they didn't have any money. So they didn't have any... So I don't know. And there was a lot of stuff that like hinted at, like Jamie Foxx's character, where it was like it never gets tied in or resolved. Where there's like a lot of like little subplotty stuff that, okay, that is never showing up again. Mm-hmm. All right. No closure.
Right.
So, and then there was a couple like shocky kind of like gross out humor things. Because the movie isn't supposed to be that. The movie is like a kind of fun, funny road movie, situational and character driven. And then they put a couple gross out Hangover type things. And it doesn't fit at all in the movie. Because it's literally one or two things. You're like, okay, well, that was tacked on by an executive note or something that, no, that doesn't work. So the actors do really well. The thing about this movie is it's a mediocre movie with really great actors in it with a couple of good moments. And, and I forgot to turn the phone
off. And that's Robert Downey Jr. calling you right now.
What's wrong with you?
Someone from Fresno. Yeah.
Just hit the mute.
This is what happens when we record on a different day. It's like everything's crazy. Phones are
How's
ringing.
How's that mute button working?
Actually, it's not working.
Is that the louder button? Don't hit the
don't
louder.
Don't worry, it'll pick up after 7 rings.
Is there a Bloomingdale's in Fresno?
Yeah, it's probably somebody's going angry.
But if you like Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis,
you will like parts of this movie.
Let me ask you this question, because this is something we brought up on the show. Is do you think it was like studio meddling, or do you think this is a director who is either he's wrestling with it, or the studio is making him just keep doing the same thing over and over and over, like just do Hangover 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, and do you think that's what the problems were in this movie? Instead of just making a completely different movie and telling a completely different story, he is holding on to the success of the Hangover and not letting go of it.
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I don't know what
Let's
the original
let him call in.
Yeah. I mean, if the original script was way different and then the studio said, well, you got to make it more like the Hangover, that could have happened. Or this is the kind of movies he makes. Hangover on the road, or you know,
hangover in a plane.
Yeah, hangover in a plane. Hangover with snakes on a plane. I don't know.
But it's hard to do a road movie because of Thelma and Louise and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
And Planes, Trains, and Automobiles was actually,
it'll always be compared to those.
It will be, but sometimes it could be favorably compared. This, it's also the thing that you get into. The problem is, it's like it's a road movie, so that means you have an hour and a half to fill of sketches on like what happens on the road, and you really have to fill in those empty spots with like character development. And they kind of do, and they kind of don't. They like try, like it's like goofy, then it's like more heartfelt, then it's goofy. It struggles. You know what? It really needed more polish, this movie. Like I said, it's a mediocre movie with good people in it and some good moments, but it's a rental.
All right.
No question.
Rent that shit.
Yeah.
How come you guys have pens?
Oh, do you want a pen?
Would you like one?
Are you guys writing?
If the phone rings again, we'll give you a pen.
Am I supposed to write stuff down?
Yeah. Oh, you should be taking diligent notes. No, you don't have to write anything
down. I need to write this character landscape for Robert Downey Jr.'s character. Hang on.
And this is... Actually, these pens are to sign your cast later.
Okay. This is just a prop.
Hello, you broke your foot, you did.
What are you writing?
You really feel like the insecure student. Like, I should be writing notes. Why is everyone taking notes?
I'm writing.
Next movie I saw last night, which is in limited release. I'm smoothing it along. I'm just moving it along.
I know. That was great.
I could have done a 5-minute pen riff.
Oh, yeah. We know.
Oh.
Well, you're about to, right?
Yes. That pen's weird. I saw Fair Game, the Sean Penn movie, and Naomi Watts.
Sean Penn.
Nice tie-in. You're on a tie-in hot streak today.
You got to look for the moments that can tie it all together.
Oh, that's like multi-platform corporate speak.
Yeah.
That's really good.
It's the sinner glue. It's
Dean Haglin, invent that. I'm sure it'll be great. No, this movie's in limited release right now, and it was directed by Doug Liman, who I really like.
He's a great director,
and you know, he's more known for his action. So this didn't have any of that. It's based on the book of Joe Wilson,
Valerie Plame,
and Valerie Plame. They both wrote their own books, and so it's based on those books, and it really is completely from their perspective, and it's almost like a little bit. And I didn't have a problem with this because I thought it really fit. It was really like, how would a married couple deal with this, you know? And you're like, gee, I don't know. How would a married couple who one's an ambassador, one's a covert spy that then pisses off the White House, and like they have to go through all this stuff? And they did it smart, because had it been too much like relationship, then I would have been like, oh, so I'm watching a movie about a difficult marriage, and it just happens to be about a huge world event that affected all of us, you know, then I would have been annoyed. But they really did a good job, and they did a lot of intercuts with actual, you know, they would always be watching something on the news that actually somebody said, Ashcroft or someone, some pundit or whatever, and I thought that was good. You know, it's hard because... You go into it, at least I went into it like, okay, Sean Penn, you know, I didn't agree with a lot of what Bush had to say, but Sean Penn has such an axe to grind.
That's so weird that he was involved in this film.
I can't.
How would they possibly have gotten him involved?
I don't know why he gravitated to
this. Was Oliver Stone unavailable?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm glad Oliver Stone didn't do this movie, because I think Liman was really trying to give it an even hand based on these two books.
Mm-hmm.
And so... You know, there's a part of me that was like, you know, I remember this, and I remember being mad about it when it happened. Like, oh, this is supposed to be the, we're the keep America safe, you know, party and White House. And oh, when we get pissed off, we're going to just hand over the name of a covert operative, which is like horrible. And you know, and you, they of course spun it to make them seem like they're crazy, and you see sort of that whole machine.
Was it, was there any like revelations in the movie, like that you didn't know, or was it just kind of a dramatization of stuff you didn't know? You did know.
I know. I think that depends on how, where you, how much you knew personally. You know, each individual person watching the movie. There were some revelations for me in terms of they went into this fucking pen cap. God damn it!
I'll take it away, yeah. Grant. It's okay. It's okay.
I
okay.
want it back.
Dan, get the ether.
I didn't. So anyway, I
and sleep.
Graham's done for the rest of the episode. It'll be a quieter episode. The thing that was revelatory for me, I haven't read either one of these books, was that in the beginning, Wilson, they show him going to Africa, to Niger. And he used to be the ambassador there, and he goes to the place where they supposedly took the 500 tons or whatever of uranium, and he's just like, he brought up some interesting things. He was like, there's no way they could have transported this through a country this small. It would have taken, whatever he said in the movie, 5 trucks, and these trucks rolling through a village that haven't seen an outsider in months, they would still be talking about it, and there's no way all those people would not talk about it. So there's, it's, he goes, I just don't see it possible. Plus, this country is getting so much continual aid from the U.S., why would they do something to jeopardize that?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and that alone was, like, interesting. And then, you know, you just since it's based on these books, I'd like to read these books. You wonder how accurate it is, you know, because it's a dramatization and stuff like that. You know, is it, it gets a little preachy at the end. You know, Sean Penn is giving this speech about to a college campus going, and it's up to you to fight for your country. And,
that he wrote himself.
Yeah, that he probably wrote himself. And I just, and I really wish I could have, I wanted to go, yeah, Let's the 18 to 25 year olds that vote in the 15 to 20 percentile every election, let's energize them, because they clearly have not given a shit for 40 fucking years. That demographic does not vote. They never have. They get energized and maybe they get up to 24% every once in a while, like for Obama in 08 or Clinton in 92. And then they go back to their 5 to 10%. And I
and their keggers.
And their keggers and whatever the thing is.
And their skinny jeans.
Oh, and their hula hoops and rock and roll and godless music.
And their bell bottoms.
I don't know. Maybe it's, I'm clearly, this is my own personal cynicism. It's just from going to Iraq and Afghanistan and coming back, and most people don't give a shit. And I watch this stuff and I go, yeah, you should be outraged. And
are they painting villains in Fair Game are the villains people, or is it more like concepts like media and or government or the machine?
No, well, they do some of that machine, but they specifically go, they show Scooter Libby, you know, they show Karl Rove, and they show how those guys spin the machine and use the machine. You know, they talk about that very effectively. And this is a good point that they make, is, you know, Sean Penn's like, the question went from, why are we invading Iraq, to who are these spy people? He goes, that's an important thing. And he goes, it just shows you how quickly they just changed the question. And, you know, it's like, hey, Susie, why did you steal that? Well, Graham, you're a pedophile. You know, it's like, what? I'm not a... And then, boom, we're all...
And that happened like last week.
Well, she's a thief.
Yeah.
And...
You're a child
you
thief.
Pushed her
you're
off that curb.
A streetwalker.
Yeah. She didn't fall.
So, you know, it's.
I would be curious to see it, because I, you know, every time there's sort of a government security clearance information, I always think, like, what version am I getting? And I would just love to hear it from their point of view, as long as there's no scene of, like, it's me or your government or your country, you know.
There's a little bit of that.
Okay.
But there's a little, I mean, I'll tell you in broad strokes, for me personally, I thought they handled the relationship and how a couple would have to deal with this just in the right amount. Like, they didn't go too much with that stuff. they dealt with it just in the right amount. I mean, I think it's an interesting movie to see. And again,
so it's like a remake of Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, perfect. Right on the button. Except they're in bikinis. It's good business.
And they're on horses.
And they're on horseback. And it's in the Ukraine. But basically the same. No, it's an interesting movie. And you know, I'm sure left-leaning people are going to watch it and shake their fists in the air and be outraged. And the right is going to say, well, it's propaganda. And the large portion of people won't even see it or care.
That is
Let's
very
move
astute.
Along.
I see that.
Megamind, none of us have seen this, but Dean's reviewing it, and the review will be on the site.
Outstanding.
127 hours.
Ooh,
Susie, you're up.
You 127 hours.
First, tell us your mindset in going into this movie.
My mindset going
Did you know
into
much
this
about
movie
it?
Was...
What about your mindset?
I haven't seen a movie since I returned... and I have this podcast tomorrow, and I need to get my crutches to the arc light. I actually saw two movies, so it's like I was cramming.
Atta girl. But couldn't bring a pen. Interesting. Guess we know what your priorities are.
I did not know what this movie was about. I know it was based on a true story, and that sort of seems to be kind of the... I like that. I like based on a true story because it sort of injects a little bit more reality into things. Because you're thinking it while you're watching, like, a version of this really happened. I saw a trailer, and so I knew it was about this guy who, you know, is trapped somewhere. But I was not prepared for... I get, you know, I think it's good they approach it this way.
You're like, maybe he's trapped in a closet, or maybe his car won't start.
It was probably a rough 20 minutes. And judging by the title, you get the idea of how long this ordeal lasted. And I think it's going to be difficult to walk into this movie and not think about the Chilean miners a little bit. I appreciated the fact that they handled it realistically, and what I mean by that is, like, I don't feel it was dramatized for the audience, specifically for the audience. Mm-hmm. I think they talked to this guy, this real guy, Aaron, and they asked him, you know, what happened when he was going through this, and I think they did a really good job and a very, at times, graphic, real job of showing you the, you know, 1,100 stages you might go through when you're in a situation like this.
Well, I've heard, you know, that there was some people have passed out in seeing this movie because there's graphic stuff about.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have been. I am
you just
a girl.
Have a flashback?
I am a girl. I am a, you know, so I don't think I've ever, like, covered my eyes in a movie except in District 9 when I was getting a little motion sickness. But I did have to actually cover my ears at one point.
Oof.
So I don't know if that gives you an idea.
Sure.
I did have to just sort of, like, move, just make noises in my, like, around my ear because I needed to sort of filter that part of it out.
Right.
But you know what? Don't not see the movie for that one part because I think to see it as a whole experience is worth it. The thing I liked about it, and here's the thing that I liked about it. I don't understand hiking or being outdoors.
Right.
I don't get it. So I walked in going,
hiking
what?
Or being outside.
Well, when she's outside, she breaks her foot.
Yeah, see? Go and stay inside. Yeah, just, lock it up.
And so, you know, my first thought when I see some guy, like, being helicoptered up to some mountain to ski down and there's an avalanche, my first thought is, you asked for it. You asked for it. And so
you should have stayed inside.
So this guy goes to some remote part of Colorado, you know, and something happens to him. I'm a little bit of like, what are you going to do? It's part of the deal when you go to some remote part of Colorado by yourself. I like the way they handled it because he took responsibility. He was resourceful. And I think I would like to think that that's how humans are in similar situations. Instead of, like, you know, save me. It's not my fault. The universe is against me kind of thing. Because my first thought always is, like, you asked for it. You did it. You know. you're an extreme sports enthusiast, you know that's part of the deal. You might die or get caught in an avalanche.
It's like the crocodile hunter.
Yeah.
You know, he got killed by the stingray. It's like he spent his entire career trying to re-enter the food chain. Eventually, it was going to catch up with you.
Congratulations.
I don't think you... my point is I don't think you need to be an outdoorsy person or anything like that to appreciate this person's struggle.
And do you think, like, the way Danny Boyle directed it, you like the way he directed it?
Yes.
But there were no zombies in this movie.
Oh, damn it. Mm. And James Franco, I mean, I really like him. He's a very good actor. How did he pulled off the...
I think it was perfect casting because you like him. And this is coming from a cynic. So, as he's going out there, I'm like, I don't get it. Why is he outside? Why is he riding a bike for so long? It's, you know, why is he in the sun? I didn't get any of it, and
why is he riding a bike for so long? Bikes are for 5 to 10 minutes max. Do you hear me?
That's why there's timers on them at the gym.
And I almost kind of get it after watching this movie. Like I understand a little bit, not for me, why some people might want to be outside.
Right. Right.
At the end of the movie or the beginning?
No, at the end of the movie. Like I guess you know. Nature, some people like it. That's the tagline, I think, for 127 right. days. Nature, some people like it.
127 days is the sequel. It's 127 hours.
That's 127. Yeah. That's right.
Danny Boyle always does hours and then days are all of his sequels.
And you would think 127 hours is a spoiler because... You know something happens and they're telling you this is day one and he's looking at his watch. So you're tracking it as you're watching it. It's not a spoiler because it still holds.
You still have
that,
to cover your ears.
You still have to cover your ears. The stakes are really high on a very, very personal level. And I don't think anyone can watch it without thinking, what would I do in the situation?
And now,
I wouldn't get on a bike
for that long
and drive in the sun or ride in the sun. But I did come out going, wow, what would I do?
Did you cover your eyes at any point of having to look at all that outdoor bullshit?
When they were on the bike for so long. I can't watch
and
this
sunshine.
Anymore.
Sunshine. This is horrifying.
This isn't spoiling anything because it's in the trailer, but they do show that. Have you guys watched the trailer?
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm.
When he and the other two girls are in sort of that crevice and they just let go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I don't get that. I don't understand that at all. Like, I don't even know if I'd do that on a dare. because the initial concept is so foreign to me. Like, why would you crawl in that crevice in the first place?
Never and how would you know there's a pool at the end of it?
Well, obviously he's...
Trust game.
Well, let's, speaking of the trust game, huh? Let's get into
nice.
It.
Nice, very good.
I'm picking up your lead.
More center glue.
More center glue. Well, let's talk about. We talked at the top of the show. You told us the like stuff you've been in.
Your passion is, you're saying, documentaries.
Documentaries. Mm-hmm. You did.
Is that why you're sort of drawn to
based on a true story kind of thing? I don't know. I did a fake documentary. I think the genre is appealing to people, and I think that's evident now because sort of like. The Office obviously is sort of set up like a fake documentary. Modern Family is also
reality shows are in essence documentaries.
Yeah,
lie fake stupid ones, but yes.
I've always liked that. I don't know what we would call it, a style. It's not a genre because a lot of that stuff is in the documentary style. But I actually did a fake.
You mean cinema verte or mockumentary?
Mockumentary.
Okay.
I love mockumentary. I did a zombie mockumentary called American Zombie.
Oh, with Jane Edith Wilson.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was.
I heard that was great. We haven't seen it yet.
Super fun. We play four zombies in Los Angeles, and it sort of tracks our lives or non-lives. I guess you're
undead.
Call it.
What's what are your favorite documentaries?
I would have to say, I think the movie that got the ball rolling where I walked out going, this is awesome, is Hoop Dreams.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that
so great.
Hooked that.
Such a great documentary.
That for sure hooked me for life.
And it was shot over so much time. It was like years.
Yeah.
You know, most movies like, we'll get it done in a couple of months.
Yeah, that's sort of the diligence of the documentary filmmaker is going in knowing this is going to take a long time.
Right.
I don't know what it's about.
I don't know what it's about.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make any money, probably.
Yeah.
And it's going to occupy my life for years.
And that's the other thing. I don't think people, there was success with March of the Penguins, but I don't think people set out to go see documentaries. And unfortunately, there's not a life for them sometimes outside. If it gets to a festival, people can see it at a festival, but there's not much of a life after it after that. So I always try and see documentaries at festivals because I don't know if I'll ever get a chance to see it again. What would you call it? The 7-Up, 28-Up? Is that the Up series? 7-Up, 28-Up, 35-Up, 42-Up, and 49-Up?
Oh, no, series? I've never seen that.
Okay, you want to talk? They took 7 years to do Hoop Dreams. This has taken 49 years to do.
Oh, I haven't seen these.
The original, let me do the math. The original one was called 7-Up. It was done in somewhere in the UK, and they worked off the theory of give me a child who was 7 years old and I will show you the man or something like that, or the person. So they interviewed eight kids when they were 7 years old, and you know, what are you going to be when you grow up, and that kind of stuff. They returned and interviewed these people, and I saw it in the late 80s. I saw 28 up in the late 80s when they were adults, and you could see it's almost like,
wow,
time lapse, whatever. So I only had to wait a couple more years till 35 up was
same subjects,
they interview the same children now grown.
Wow.
And 42 up is probably one of my favorite documentaries of all time. And then 49 Up came out recently. I shouldn't say recently. A couple years ago.
Are they going to keep going?
I hope so.
Wow.
I hope so. So like if 49 Up, I think it was like mid-90s. So that, yeah.
The Up series.
Oh, yeah. It is called the Up series.
The Up series.
It is like watching, what's that time-lapse movie? Koyaanisqatsi?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like that, but with people.
And without Philip Glass.
Yes. And that'll blow your mind.
Now, you also said you saw, in addition to 127 hours, you saw Waiting for Superman. We talked about it on that show, but we'd love to hear what you have to say about that.
I think since then, Chancellor Rhee has stepped down.
No, she
got
fired.
Oh, she got fired.
Yeah, it was awful. A new.
But wasn't it sort of a debate of like, I'm not going to quit. You're fired or what? No.
Well, I heard she was, you know, there was probably some controversy on what happened. Either way, she's no longer there. And she was like the hero of the movie. I think it was a new mayor came in and who was supported by the teachers' unions.
I haven't seen the film, so who is she? And for our audience.
She was appointed probably the 7th or 8th chancellor of education for Washington, D.C. in 10 years. So
shook everything up.
Yeah. She fired 23 principals, including the principal of her own child's school, and was pushing for this reform where people, for the teachers, would, in exchange for giving up their tenure, the chance to make more money. And I think the biggest...
Like a lot more money, not just like a kind of a little salary increase. Like they were talking six figures type money if they gave up their tenure. And the union was so scared of this vote, they wouldn't let it come to a vote because they knew they would lose.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. The thing I love about documentaries is they so often, I mean, they can do a lot of different things. They can shed some light on a political issue like Waiting for Superman. Mm-hmm. But more often, at least the ones that appeal to me are also, and this more is in the Hoop Dreams vein, is they bring you into a world or a subculture that I didn't know about. You know,
and
like,
anything can be interesting if it's done well.
If it's done well. And you know, and I also like, I mean, I've seen, and I like the ones that are straightforward. Like we talked about Inside Job on the last episode. It's a very straightforward statistical based documentary, which it sort of needs to be.
And I didn't need the ether.
And you didn't need the ether for that. Yeah, you thought you were gonna have to kill me. And that's interesting. But then, you know, like Kid Stays in the Picture is really stylized, and that's almost like a drama the way they did that.
Yeah.
And you know, and then Ken Burns, you know, did the stuff with the photos and just the style of
Yeah, chronicling one subject.
Well, sometimes too, they can actually follow the narrative structure of follow the structure of a narrative movie. And one of the ones I found really entertaining was King of Kong. Did you see that?
Oh, God. I still say, you want to be Billy Mitchell or you want to be Steve Wiebe?
Yeah, love that movie. It's a fantastic movie. It's about, you know, the high score on Donkey Kong. You think, well, how is that going to be interesting?
And
unbelievably, incredibly interesting and fun. But the reason is, they didn't even know what they were going to get when they were shooting the footage. The way it panned out was literally like a struggle between good and evil as it progressed, and it was absolutely fascinating,
Graham,
to watch.
Would love this movie. I can't even tell you how much you would love this movie.
And it followed a narrative structure. It was like the good guy versus the bad guy, and they were playing Donkey Kong. That's what it was so great.
That to me is such a cool thing about how documentaries are made. Like you say, they don't know what's going to happen. A great example is that, and I apologize for not knowing the name, but I saw this woman was on Oprah. This is probably 5 years ago. And she, I forget her name, and hopefully our fans are going to know what I'm talking about and email us.
Let's see if Dan can figure it out. He's on the computer.
All right.
More clues.
Yes.
My clues are not that great.
We haven't heard one yet.
Yeah,
but
so far that's correct.
So someone was on Oprah 5 years ago.
Boom.
Go.
Look it up.
Yeah.
Come on, intern. Get your shit together. She has like a name, like whatever. You still don't know? How could you not know? I'm handing you these movies. I'm handing you what this is. Okay, let's say her name's Susie Nakamura.
All right.
So what she did is she went to, like, she had a name that is not really obscure, but kind of obscure. And she drove around in a Winnebago with the camera guy and was going to call up every woman in all these small towns that
had
this
a name. Angela Shelton.
Yes, you know the movie.
Yep.
Yes. Angela Shelton. She starts discovering that in this process, boom, Angela Shelton, Nakamura, studier, teacher's pet. She realized all these women that she would just have these conversations with, they all started talking about that they had been abused sexually or abused and stuff as children. And she was
spoiler alert.
Oh my God. And she had a bunch of repressed memories. And the movie suddenly is not about this fabric of America and Andrea Shelton's.
What's the name of the movie?
Searching for
Bobby Fischer.
That's between like a Ken Burns baseball documentary because he knows what happened
right.
in baseball.
Or a World War II one.
Or someone who decides to turn on a camera and follow someone. I've gotten the biggest surprise, like turns and unexpected endings in documentaries than I've ever had in any movie.
You know, the Ken Burns style one, there's nothing wrong with, okay, they get a grant or whatever. We're going to follow this thing. We know it front to back, or we're going to research this battle that took place and blah, blah. And that's great.
I've seen those and they're fascinating.
They're very fascinating when they're done well. But like you say, the one where it's like, I'm going to take a camera to this thing. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. The stakes are high. You're with them as an audience member, because if there's like in the King of Kong where there's a big competition coming up, mm-hmm. I mean, you're with them and waiting for Superman, the lottery, you know, you're invested in these people.
Yeah.
But the great thing about the genre is it could be anything.
It could be anything. And that movie I always use as an example of, she went out to make this one movie and something completely different happened.
Yes.
That to me is the most amazing part of being a documentarian is that.
And I think because it deals with real subject matter, it does make a difference. And I know Errol Morris's Thin Blue Line had a big impact on either that guy getting a new hearing or being proven innocent. Mm-hmm. This week, in fact, I think 2 days ago, the West Memphis 3 got a new hearing. So if you guys haven't seen Paradise Lost or Paradise Lost, I think it's called Paradise mm-hmm. Lost 2, mm-hmm. About the West Memphis 3, that would be a good rental because they just got a new trial like this week. And I don't think it's unrelated to the media attention it got
because of the movie. Even something that, like Martin Spurlock's movie, Super Size Me, when that movie came out, McDonald's, suddenly we stopped supersizing our menus.
I mean...
apparently, McDonald's, coincidence.
Yeah.
Coincidence.
They called it coincidence.
Coincidence. Like, yeah. I mean, it's like, I've been in a documentary and made one, and it's an...
Oh, that's right.
It's amazing... like I was in Super High Me, which is this sort of lark, you know, and here's an example. It was like, Doug's going to smoke weed for 30 days. And it was hilarious and fun. And in the middle of it, the DEA shut down dispensaries. This is the summer of 06. And it was like, the movie kind of has this like, holy shit. And there's people out there who are like going through chemo or whatever. There's a great line in the movie where the cops are busting it. And someone goes, why don't you bust a meth lab, you pussy? And it's just like...
The movie. Did they get mad when you said that?
I was hiding behind Doug.
Yeah.
No, so that like I've seen it happen firsthand, and also just when I took a camera to Afghanistan, it was like I didn't know what was going to happen. I had no I had no clue what was going to go down, and that
even especially when you think you know what the subject matter is going to be. Mm-hmm. George Hickenlooper also died recently, who did Hearts of Darkness.
Oh, great documentary!
And more recently, did you guys see Mayor of Sunset Strip?
No.
Yes, I haven't seen with the
Rodney,
the DJ.
Yeah, so they think they're just going to chronicle this DJ, and like, you know, he was a major influence, and but something happens on camera, like while the cameras are rolling, rather, that it's, you know.
There's great, well, I mean, there's so many examples. There was the, I forget the name of it, the French filmmakers who wanted to see a day in the life of a new firefighter in New York in the summer of 2001, and then like 9/11 hit, and they were like, I saw an interview with them. Nothing happened for like 3 weeks leading up to 9/11. They're like, we had enough for a really good cooking documentary, because it was just like, this is how you make spaghetti for 15 firefighters. And they were like, oh my god. And then they were, and then 9/11 hit, and they were like, we don't
have enough cameras.
We screwed up. Well, yeah, it was no. They were like, we want to leave. What are we doing here? Like, they reevaluated everything. And I remember when I first went to Afghanistan, I was like, I'm going to bring cameras. I'm going to see what this journey's like. And I really want my nieces and nephews to just, because they were really young at the time. They were like 2 and 3 years old. And I really want to see what there's like. And then I remember like a couple, we got shot at or whatever. And I was like, fuck, I want to go home. Fuck this. I want to get out of here. This sucks. Like, this is a war. What the fuck was I thinking? Like, let's leave. And I remember going through that and having seen other documentaries where they go through that.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing. Even like Fog of War, which is a great documentary. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, now that's
Errol Morris too, right? Yeah.
And it's you know, we're going to talk about McNamara. Wait.
McNamara.
Stop it. McNamara, you know, his dealing with the going into war. So they had the statistics, and the one thing that didn't happen was in the middle of it, he goes back to talk with his counterpart in Vietnam 30 years later, and they almost come to blows. I mean, like, these are two men in their 70s, and
which I would have paid to see.
Oh, God.
Two 70-year-old men fighting.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, stuff was learned. McNamara learned something, because he was like arguing with this guy. He's like, no, we didn't want you guys to link up with China. And the Vietnamese guy was like, what do you guys pick up a history book? We fucking hate China. We were going to link up with them. Like, you guys are, and that fight happening amidst this sort of typical PBS style documentary was fascinating. So we need to move on, but I could talk about documentaries forever.
Yeah.
Let's go to
They even made one into a musical, Grey Gardens. They made Greek. I mean, so it's like...
That's awesome. That's great.
Is that on DVD?
I don't know.
Well, look it up.
Oh, the movie, for sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The documentary Grey Gardens, for sure.
Okay. And they took that documentary and made it into a musical.
Yeah, and plus a movie, an HBO movie with Drew Barrymore.
My goodness.
Awesome.
Love it.
DVD, only one good movie on DVD this week. I'll read you the three. You can kind of guess which one. Grown Ups, Charlie St. Cloud, and Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
One of these things is not like the other.
The only one we could get to see Grown Ups was our intern. And let's just say he didn't love it.
He didn't love it. Not a huge fan.
Charlie St. Cloud, we couldn't even get an intern to go see that movie. Yeah. And why would you?
Why?
I mean, I don't think they could get Zac Efron to see that movie.
No. He was committed.
Or his dead brother.
Yeah. No.
Scott Pilgrim, yeah, I saw it. I love that movie. See it again. Get the DVD. It's great. I'm sure the special features on it are...
Because that one didn't do great in the
It suffered from kick-ass disease. It was too good.
Let's see how it does in DVD and Netflix. I mean, let's really give it the old support.
To me, it's one of these movies that I'm going to want to see numerous times because I know every time I see it...
Are you going to buy it?
I'm going to see something new. When I finally get my new TV, which I'm going to, then I'm going to buy here in this order.
When you finally get a TV, a DVD player, and electricity.
And electricity.
You're going to buy this movie.
And I move out of my hut into a standing structure, out of my tent as I'm out in outdoors with my bicycle living like a freak.
I'm saving up for a pellet stove.
I will get kick-ass Scott Pilgrim. Boom.
Done.
In that order.
Opening this week, interesting variety of films, you could say. Skyline.
I'm so pumped for this.
Yep. Was not on board after the first trailer. Second trailer, unbelievable. Fantastic. Yeah. Can't wait to see this movie.
Can't wait.
I was on board from the first one. Just seeing people getting sucked into the sky in the big space vacuum.
Awesome.
I was like, well, I don't know. Could you keep remembering? Yeah.
I've been to Bakersfield.
But the problem is you keep thinking of like Independence Day. You know, right. And you're thinking, but then when the second trailer, I'm like, oh my God, this is what would really happen if there was an alien invasion.
It's what would really happen, and they don't have big name stars in it.
Yeah.
Like monsters.
Yes. I can't wait to go and kick E.T.'s butt. We're not going to get lines like that.
From whatever fucking the hillbilly voice you were doing. I don't know. What? Papaw and Meemaw go fight the aliens.
Get her done.
You want to see this, Susie, right? Skyline?
Oh, yeah. I saw the trailer last night.
Amazing.
I sign me up for that stuff.
Yeah, Alien.
And as our intern pointed out, full of TV actors.
Yes. So they're going to work really hard.
And I think it's
they're
good.
Trying to get out of the
I
small
think that's
medium.
Actually better because then it's like there's no big star like hogging know the entire movie and like you know just
and
the camera.
Oh, we have to give the star this big scene
where he's running away while the bridge is collapsing.
All these people can die.
Yes.
That's the great thing.
Yeah.
You hear me, TV actors? You're expendable.
Not just in the movie.
In life, all of you character actors running around the valley, you're next.
You're like the minority Bond girl. Yeah. You can just go. Not needed.
You're a red shirt guy working on the Enterprise. Time is limited.
At most, you'll get two.
You'll get
two movies. That's
two
it.
Two movies and then you're dead. Morning Glory? What is that?
That is the Harrison Ford morning TV news thing with Rachel McAdams. And
I like Rachel McAdams.
I know I'll see this on a
plane. She's the thinking man's Parker Posey.
I don't know. I'm a girl. I know I keep saying that. Kind of. Now it sounds defensive.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I might see that. I might see that.
I know I'll see it. I'll be either on the road
or on a plane.
On a plane and need something to do, and I will see that movie. And I'm sure it'll have some fun moments.
I don't think I've ever seen Harrison Ford play sort of a curmudgeon. Like a real one, not a heroic curmudgeon.
No, regarding Henry, the first part of it.
Ritz. I'm remembering Ritz Crackers, the hotel where I had my affairs. Uh-oh, I just spoiled alert regarding Henry. Sorry.
And the last one, Unstoppable. Oh, you know what? I'll bet it is.
I bet you it is stoppable. Yeah, I bet you could stop it pretty easily.
This is because the taking of Pelham 1-2-3 remake with Denzel Washington went so well. I'm sure he thought, I should just play this character again in another movie.
Just the lines from the trailer.
Are maddening.
Yeah. Would be the reason not to see it.
A train moving at that speed and that fast can turn anything into butter.
That's what you decided to bring us into the theater.
Yes. This is Speeds meets Pelham 1-2-3 meets Star Trek.
The first time the trailer came out, when it ended and there's that silence, I yelled out, crazy train.
If If it was called Crazy Train,
then
yeah.
I would see it.
Okay.
This train's out of its mind.
Yes. It's going to go off the track.
Yeah.
It's going to go off the rails, this crazy train.
It's literally like a stereotype, like a caricature buffet. It's like Lone Wolf McGee, young upstart, the girl who's like, this is a cover-up, yeah. And the old evil business guy's like, I don't care about humans, I want money thrown into my face, you know? Like,
isn't there
train.
One point where he's like, there's 127 kids on that bus.
I'm just a middle-class city like worker.
That. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't, you know... Yeah, exactly. The municipal guy, I'm sure, like, look.
I'm just trying to make a living.
The 35th floor is going to be crawling up my ass if you clowns don't. Okay, I got it.
So that's what we have to look forward to this weekend. One movie.
Yeah. What, go see
Unless
Skyline.
You're a girl.
Unless you're.
Or rent a documentary.
Or rent a documentary.
Absolutely.
So
support independent filmmaking.
Let's bring it all home. Cindy, we didn't really. Did I just say Cindy? Erase
Who's
that.
Cindy?
I meant Susie.
Who's Cindy? Cindy.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought you called me Sydney.
I did, Sydney.
Sydney.
I'm
and
not
then,
paying attention.
Sydney and Sandy Nakamura. This is a great show.
What's the nickname?
It is. My nickname's Sydney. I know. I Graham Elwood
now,
to
yes.
Sydney makes perfect sense.
Love Sydney was a television program with Tony Randall.
And you just remind me of Australia.
Down under, mate. Hello.
And a concert hall.
And a concert hall.
So, Susie, tell us more about what you have upcoming. What projects, what movies, and where people can get a hold of you.
Upcoming, I'm returning for the second season of Men of a Certain Age on TNT.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
Andre Brower was nominated for an Emmy for season one, so I'm hoping that'll bring more attention to the show because I really do like the show. Sometimes I like what I work on, and I wish I wasn't on it because then I can tell people that I like it without sounding like I'm promoting myself. But right. I really do love that show.
Who are you in the show?
I play...
Cindy Sydney.
I play a woman named Sydney.
From Australia.
I am Scott Bakula's character's neighbor / one night stand.
Oh, like a friend with benefits.
Yeah.
Because he's like a bird dogging guy.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
Right. There's like the married put upon guys, and then he's like, I've never settled down or something like
and
that.
And then he goes back in time.
Yes. Sam! You gotta bang that waitress.
You're gonna miss the shift.
You're gonna miss the shift.
Both of them.
So what else you got cooking?
I did a pilot for HBO. I don't know if it'll be picked up or not, but I'm excited about it. It's Alan Ball, who loves blood.
Nice.
And if people can get a hold of me either through Facebook, I have a fan page, or SusieNakamura.com.
Great.
And what was the web series you were doing?
Oh, my God. I just finished a web series with the Sklar Brothers. I know you had the Sklar Brothers on here. I did Held Up with John Doerr and the Sklar Brothers, and it was fantastic and super fun. And we had a screening fairly recently, and it was great to see all, 12, 16 of them.
I've seen some
of them.
They're hilarious. It's a funny web series. How do people find that?
Crackle.com.
Boom.
Cool. Held Up at crackle.com.
All right. Any other ways for people to...
That's a lot.
Get a hold of you? That's a lot.
Come to my house and drive me around. Because I can't drive.
For the next 6 to 9 weeks.
I'm the girl with crutches at the arc light.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, guys. I had fun.
Cool. Well, we're getting into our Christmas season.
Holiday
calendar.
Shopping season, folks. Yep. Come on,
we've got it done. We've got a lot of stuff cooking. We've got actually, like we were talking about, more gift packs, more books, more CDs, more DVDs. And we will guarantee Christmas delivery up to, about December 15th, something like
December,
that?
December, no, we can do, let's see, let me look at the calendar.
Maybe December 20th.
We can do up to the 20th. The 20th is Monday. Yeah, if your orders come in by Monday, December 20th, we can...
And we'll even priority mail it at our expense if we if you're on the 20th and you're like, I want to get it in time, we'll take care of it.
Yeah, yeah. But order now.
Yeah, we prefer you to order now. And chill packs are flying out the door.
Boom, we need to reorder. And, little Miss Cindy Nakamura is going to buy herself one.
And you know what? I could actually wrap it around my foot, and it'll reduce the swelling.
See, exactly. It's so many purposes.
Yes.
Your foot and computer will not explode.
And we really appreciate you guys buying stuff in the store. Like we said, if you really want to support the podcast, you know, tell people about it, and then spend about $20 a year in the store. We really appreciate it. You'll be supporting us, also independent filmmakers and artists.
Yeah, it's good business. So thank you so much. I'll give a quick shout out. I will be at the Improv at Harvey's in South Lake Tahoe, November 10th through the 14th. Bring it. what else do we got? We got any other?
We've got your gift pack is available, and then I have my book, Pacify Me, a handbook for the freaked out new dad. And keep checking back on the site. We're actually going to be adding more stuff.
And don't we have another? Aren't we doing a live show on the November 21st?
Oh yes, at CineSpace with the Hollywood Shorts.
Yeah,
that'll be a great show.
Boom, lock it in. Yeah, if you're in CineSpace in Hollywood, November 21st.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you once again, Susie Nakamura.
Thanks,
and
Graham.
Her
Thanks,
sister,
Chris.
Cindy.
Yes.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, Ken.
Our intern, Dan, Brian, for driving you. Thank you so much.
God bless
Steve
you.
Steve, for driving me to the Arc Light last night.
Thank you, wow. Steve. He's so
a whole
magic.
Staff.
He really is. She has a whole foot staff. Hello. Coffee and Jam Jam for bringing us the morning funnies. My name's Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini.
Remember,
Han shot first.
We're nerds, get it?